of Out to Sense with me, Nam.
And Rosh.
And yeah, it's been a bit of a, you know, break. I don't know. All I can say is, well, we're in lockdown. It's hard to find a bit of silence for us to record because everyone's in the house.
Yeah.
And no one leaves because you can't.
Well, yeah.
And just finding the motivation really to do it because there's not really much new stuff coming out.
Yeah.
And it's sort of like, I think it's that lockdown fatigue where. I think in the beginning we were like, oh, we're going to watch this. And I'm actually finding it a bit hard to watch
stuff,
you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. What about you?
All right. Only because, like, I keep seeing things that I want to watch. And I'm like, oh my God, I have to watch this.
Yeah.
So in that way, it's still, what's the word? Motivating.
Mm.
I
am too. It's not that I'm not motivated, but there's like so many other things happening. Like this is the first week of our holidays for school.
Yeah.
So that's why, you know, it's like nice. I'm sorry. I'm a little bit nasally and I'm sniffling because yesterday and today it's super windy and it's spring now. So there's lots of hay fever around and it's bad. It's not.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry if I'm sniffly.
But despite that, the weather was amazing.
It was amazing.
Yeah. That's our little weather report.
If you remove hay fever, it's beautiful weather because we're not wearing jumpers.
Yes, it was so good. Oh my God, it was so amazing. Good.
We had Mexican food.
Yeah.
I cooked after a really long time.
I cooked.
I made enchiladas. I made tacos. We made fish tacos.
Yeah.
I made chicken enchiladas. I made some Mexican rice. We made some homemade margaritas,
uh-huh.
which was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun after really a long time. Yeah. It was fun. Yeah. So anyway, but we wanted to record. We wanted to do this episode as a Chadwick Boseman episode.
Yeah.
But we've had to delay that because we haven't been able to watch the movies that we wanted to watch.
Yeah.
So we've decided to do, I wouldn't call it a filler episode because we have planned this for a while.
Yeah, we have planned this at least six months ago. Yeah.
And
we keep putting it off.
We keep putting it off.
Because other stuff was coming up that we were like, oh yeah, we'll talk about this instead.
So I think this is the perfect time to do this.
Yeah.
And also because our next MCU movie was Black Panther, so we want to sort of do that.
We need to, with him. And we want to watch it again because we need to watch it again.
Exactly.
We
so
haven't since he passed.
The name of this episode is
Easy Listening for the Eyes.
For the Eyes, and we've been inspired by
Dwight Schrute
for the naming of this episode because you know he's famous for his weird sayings.
Yeah. Weird sayings like. A horse is a bike that pedals itself.
There you go. So, he's got some other ones which are not super family friendly, but, you know.
Bread is the paper of the food industry.
Oh, there you go. Bread is the paper of the food industry.
It's one of my absolute favorites.
My other one is the eyes of the groin of the head. So, yeah. So, those are the ones. And, we thought we'll
easy listening for the eyes.
So, essentially, we're going to be covering reality, shows, but we've broken them up into categories.
Uh-huh.
And we do watch a lot of reality stuff. You do too.
I do too, but depending on what it is.
Yeah,
like,
so
apart from Housewives, I think I pretty much watch everything else.
Yeah, so we've broken them up into categories. I thought this was a great time to sort of catch up on this kind of stuff. Because, like, as much as we like watching our TV shows and movies and things like that, I think reality is just... It's just fun.
It's just stuff that... And I feel like in lockdown, we've been watching a lot of it because, it's just easy.
It's easy listening
for the eyes.
Absolutely. You don't have to think much. You know, it's just there. Oh. So we've got four categories that we've broken into, which is property shows,
wedding
shows.
Reality as in, like, your housewives.
Yeah,
and
reality.
And everything. And then
food and travel.
Yeah.
So, I have to admit, with food and travel, in the last 6 months, we haven't updated our food and travel list only because
the world has
not just that. I cannot bring myself to watch food and travel at the moment because I'm just depressed when I watch it.
It makes me really sad.
Yeah, so I think that might be a good place to start with, a quick food
and
travel.
That's our shortest list.
So we've got a couple of things that we watch quite regularly with food and travel. So there's an Australian show called Food Safari.
It's so good.
It's great. It's actually really, really good. Because Australia is pretty multicultural.
Mm-hmm.
We've got different cuisines from all over the world. So basically that's the premise of the show. So you go into different cultures and what kind of food they bring from where they're coming from. And they've had some really amazing stuff that you don't even see in like restaurants. Because you see, like, families cooking their food. And, like, one of my biggest pet peeves is probably whenever, like, oh, this is where I could probably bring in one of the newest cooking shows that Australia has, which is Plate of Origin.
Oh, yeah, Plate of Origin.
Right? So, Plate of Origin, so this is our little plug-in for that if you haven't watched it.
It's great.
Plate of Origin's great. And, essentially, Plate of Origin is... All of the teams are country-based teams. Yep. You have India, you have France, you have Australia, Vietnam.
Lebanon, Greece, Italy, Cameroon, China. I'm pretty sure that's
Vietnam,
it.
Did we cover?
Yeah.
Yeah. Was there otherwise?
I feel like that was it.
Venezuela was in there as well. So you had all of these shows. And so the Food Safari... it reminds me of that.
Yeah.
And so I love Food Safari because it sort of looks at all the different cultures and different things. But then you look at Plate of Origin, it's competition. Yeah. And it's all these, they're competing against each other.
Yeah.
I have to say, Australia was the first one to leave. I think Australia and Venezuela were the first ones to leave.
That was super disappointing.
That was sad because I loved them.
Yeah.
India left. I was actually quite happy when India went.
That's really bad of us to say.
I know. But I was actually okay with them.
Because I just didn't like them as a couple.
I felt like they had no taste in food.
Exactly. And they weren't making things that were authentic to
India. Their first meal that they cooked was butter chicken.
Which is just a glorified...
It's nothing.
It's literally... Butter chicken was just invented... For, like, the British people.
Yeah, butter chicken for is white not people. Something that we eat in India at home. It's not... Yeah. You can get it in restaurants. And as I will admit, it is one of my favorite things
it's
to
so
eat.
It's so good. It's yum.
I'm actually craving it right now. But the whole thing is butter chicken is not imaginative. It's not a classic. No. You know, I mean, I guess you could say that it's classic, but it's not.
It's not.
It's just... It's not authentic.
No.
And I'm like, as Indians, you come to a show which is about your culture, and you look at all the different, like, oh, man, Cameroonians were cooking amazing food.
Oh, my God, that food, I wanted to eat so bad.
The Aussies cooked really well.
Yeah.
The Italians are just mind-blowing.
Proof that they are.
Right? And then the Indians go and cook...
Butter chicken,
right?
Like, it's the most underwhelming thing.
It's the most... I was looking forward to seeing what they were going to cook.
Yeah, I was like, oh, they're going to make the kebabs or something. Right?
The other thing that really bugged me about them was when, I think it was Venezuela, they present... So, basically, the whole thing is you sit and the judges, obviously, you know, will have your food. Mm. And the judges, actually, two of them are from MasterChef Australia. So, if any of you watch MasterChef Australia, you will recognize Gary and Matt.
Yeah.
And then you've got Manu, who used to be on... I've never watched that show before.
My Kitchen Rules.
Yeah. Who's French, right? Yeah. And so they're great as three judges. Yeah, they've got a lot of chemistry. So they judge your food, and then the rest of the teams also eat your food and give comments, right? Yeah. So when Venezuela made, I can't remember what they had made, but they had wrapped it in a banana leaf, and it looked beautiful.
Yeah,
and it went out, and everyone's like, "Oh, it's beautiful, beautiful." And the Indian guy, he was like, "Oh, this is so like." He looked down on it as if like this is village food.
I know, it was so shitty.
It was so bad, and I just thought, "It was so bad. How dare you?
Yeah,
how dare you? It was so insulting." Yeah, I just thought, and that put me off.
Yeah,
that put me off. And yeah, of course. Can we talk about the Frenchies?
The Frenchies. Oh my gosh,
they were the worst.
French team was so awful.
They were horrible.
I honestly thought at the start when they were quite arrogant, I was like, oh, maybe
this is just for show.
Maybe this is just them being stereotypical. Yeah. Like, maybe this is all just for show and all that. Yeah. But when they got eliminated and that guy walked off, walked off without saying goodbye to anybody.
Oh, it was so like, bad.
This guy is...
He was horrible. Awful. He walked off. So one of them, so there were two of them, Austin and Leo, I think it was. And Austin was the really arrogant one.
Yeah.
And they were, who were they going against? It's Italy.
Yeah, Italy. Right?
And he goes in their pre-interview, he's like, oh, I could cook Italian in my sleep. And so we're like, okay, fine, whatever. And they made a beef tartare, which, okay, yeah, people love it. I cannot even think of eating raw beef, so whatever.
Oh, I know.
But that's okay. I'm fine with that. Yeah. That's a dish I don't like, but the world likes. So I'm fine with that. The point is, they think Italy won over them like by
1 point.
1 point, right?
Yeah.
And this guy just lost his mind. And he was just like... And Manu, I felt really bad.
Yeah, really.
Because he's
bad
French.
For Manu.
He was sort of like, you know.
And he was complimenting them and saying, like, this is the first time we've had, like, a French team and anything.
In
so
any
thank
show,
you so
yeah.
much for being here and all this stuff. And you've made me really happy to see you guys here.
And the other guy was, like, pretty gracious, you know.
Yeah. And then that guy just walked off.
And he just walked off while he was talking. Yeah. And then in their post interview, he's like, oh, if France didn't win, then no one should win. And the producer goes, are you that arrogant?
He's like, oh, I'm not that arrogant, but I know when I'm right or something.
Oh,
he said that.
Oh my gosh, it was so bad.
It was
I can't believe it.
And we kept thinking about it like an hour later. We were just like,
it was so bad. And on Twitter, it was hilarious.
Oh, it was so funny. It was
quite funny.
Yeah.
But anyway, so that was Food Safari and Plate of Origin.
Yeah.
But there's another show.
And a little bit
love.
Of MasterChef.
A little
in there
bit of MasterChef.
Because
Chef
we can't not
well.
Talk about
oh,
MasterChef.
MasterChef's a classic.
Which was great, but then, I mean, it fizzled out. But
true.
Whatever.
Oh, well. The other one is Rick Stein.
Yeah, which we love watching with our mum.
I know, we love watching. Actually, Dad likes watching
Dad
it as well.
Dad likes watching it.
But it's a really good show, so if you have never watched Rick Stein before, you must watch it. And he does these really interesting journeys. I would say he's very much a travel show along with food.
Along with food, yeah.
And it's a good combination.
Yeah.
He may not be everyone's cup of tea in the sense that he's older, so, you know, that, I don't know, like, I'm in my 30s, you're in your 20s, and we still like watching it, so I guess...
I just like watching it for the food.
Yeah, but it's still interesting. And he has this little battery, he's got his, you know, little minivan with the makeshift kitchen in the back, and he drives around Europe, and he's done one for India as well, right up to the, from the north to the south.
Yeah, it was really
and
good.
And what I like about his show is... He talks a lot about the history of different places and how that history actually influences the food.
Yeah.
So you get to see the landscape and you get to see the people. And again, he goes to very, like, authentic style cooking.
Yeah.
You know? So
I love
Rick
Stein. Really fun. Yeah. I mean, it's something that... It doesn't have to be, like, sophisticated
no,
or anything.
No, not
but,
at
like,
all.
It's just fun, you know?
Yeah.
And it makes you think of, like, any... when we could travel, we always used to be like, oh, yeah, we should go to this place because it looks really
definitely.
Fun. So, yeah, it makes you think about places other than the obvious places you would go
exactly.
to.
Exactly.
You know?
He doesn't go to, like, the most touristy places.
Yeah.
He doesn't actually cover big cities. He covers, like... smaller villages, and I remember there was this one place he went to in Italy. I think it was in the north or the south. Can't remember exactly. But it was a small village where they are famous for rice.
Oh,
and they do different types of rice. And when the rice harvest comes along, they actually do this huge rice cookout. And they cook different dishes with rice.
Yum.
And it's like a competition that
I
they
love
do.
Rice, so I would fit in there.
I know, right? And they do all these different types of stews and risotto style things. And I was just like, oh man, this would be so much fun.
That sounds like so much fun.
Yeah, it was really good. And then he does like weird stuff as well. I think that was in Germany. They did like a food tasting for a new restaurant in a morgue. Yeah, it was weird.
What?
It was so weird. It
oh,
was
I don't
so
think
weird.
I saw that one.
But yeah, like, you've got all these strange things that are happening.
Yeah.
But it was great. I love his
it's
show.
It's really fun.
He's really good. We gotta talk about...
I mean, how can we go in a podcast without talking about our favorite person in the world?
Matthew Good.
And that is Matthew Good.
I know, food and wine... Food and
travel,
where does he fit in?
In pretty much every aspect.
True. So he's got the show called The Wine Show.
With Matthew Rhys.
With Matthew Rhys. I think he's doing it with someone else as well.
Are they still doing it?
I'm not sure exactly. We haven't watched
it
in a while.
Because I don't think it's been on for a while because
of
all this.
We haven't watched it in a while because, you know. I'll be honest, I haven't watched all of it, but I'm slowly
I've
making
watched
my way
a bit
through
of
it.
Yeah.
And I think it's really fun.
It's so fun.
I don't necessarily watch it for the wine.
I don't think I do either. I like it for the interactions because they're so funny. When they get drunk...
I know, it's quite funny.
It is the funniest thing I have ever seen. Because the outtakes from it are hilarious. Because they're just, like, holding their wine and they'll just be like... just trying to be serious. It's so funny. It's so damn funny.
So yeah, so the wine show is great, and they talk about, you know, very serious, you know, how the different wines are made. And
yeah,
I've always been fascinated by wine. I love wine.
I don't love wine,
but well, as you get older, I feel like you like wine more.
Maybe I've gotten a little bit into it, but that's about it.
Yeah, unfortunately, I get very bad migraines as well. It's weird, like, I'll have one sip of wine and I've got a giant migraine, and then sometimes I'll have, like, three glasses and I'm fine.
Yeah.
So probably I depends cannot on the type. Tell, like, I can't tell, but anyway.
Anyway, but yeah, they're really fun, and he is really, like, I mean, both of them are just so funny, and I love them.
Well, there's one travel show that we haven't watched, but I do want to watch, is the Zac Efron one. That's on Netflix. Yeah. I've heard people talking about it. I've heard some good reviews and I've heard some bad ones as well. I think it looks interesting.
Yeah.
And I really like that he's doing something different. So I really want to watch it and see what that's all about. Yeah, so moving on, what's our next category?
Yeah, so property. We're obsessed with property.
How did we get into property? I don't remember. And it's been a while.
It's been a lot. Well, okay, so I would say that you're the one who got into all of this first, because you started off watching with, like, location.
Yes.
And Phil and Kirsty, you always used to talk about them. And then Mom got super into it, and I always used to be like, yeah, I don't like this.
Yeah, no, for years you never watched it.
And then, I don't know, I think as you get older, you start thinking about this stuff, and you start thinking about, like, oh, if I had my own house, what would it look like? So I started watching Location with you guys. And then we discovered Love It or List It.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Because, I don't know, it was just coming on one of the...
I think it was coming on one of the channels, on, like, Lifestyle Home. On Lifestyle Home,
yeah. I think it was Lifestyle Home. And we were like, oh my god, this show is great. Because that one with Hillary and whatever the dude's name is.
I don't know. David, I think.
David. It's part US and part Canada.
I think it started off in Toronto, I'm guessing.
Yeah, and then it sort of moved into the US as well.
Yeah.
So that was really fun. I'm like, oh my god, this is such a great concept. Like, you know, the whole, you know, you renovate it, but then you also have to go out and look for a property, and then whoever...
Decides
whatever you choose is what you do, you know? I was like, oh, this is an interesting concept.
And then they had...
Got obsessed
with it. They had a Vancouver one, which we started watching again. Because, you know, it's like Vancouver. So, like, oh, more
we're
homes.
Like, yeah. We're like, oh, my gosh, let's see Vancouver. Because we always heard that Vancouver real estate is great, but it's super expensive. And I always wanted to know what the homes were like. And they're beautiful, and you can understand why they are so expensive.
And also because, you know, there's the film industry there and all of that stuff. So, that
yeah, Vancouver real estate. I will never afford a house in Vancouver.
But what was your observation about it?
But as we were watching it, I always used to be like... Whatever the two people's names are, Jillian and I don't remember the guy's name. So Jillian is the designer who has to renovate the house, and the other guy is the one, the realtor who goes and finds the already made house. And I always used to be like, God, they're a bit fake, aren't they? They're just like, they
you look like he's fake. He's the guy fake. Is fake.
He's like, it's like he's acting.
Yeah. And just her chemistry was just a bit off.
It was a bit off. Like, it never really worked. Yeah. And, like, sometimes even she used to be, like, she would say something and it felt very, like...
Especially, like, there'd be, like, drama. We'd be like, oh, no, where are we going to get more funding from?
Yeah, and I was used to be like, why is she, like, acting? Like, why isn't it natural? Like, what's going on? And I was like, why is it so fake? And you always used to be like, oh, it's not fake. It's not fake. I'm like, yes, it's fake. It has to be. How can this be real? And you were like, no, it's not. And then
maybe, I always thought, this is what I thought. Yeah. I thought maybe they don't have natural chemistry. So they might be scripting the parts where they're together.
Yeah.
So I thought that's what it was.
Yeah.
I didn't think what it actually turned out to be.
So this is maybe like, I don't know, back in March maybe we were watching it. And I was like, just look it up. Just please. Because it was frustrating me by that. And then you looked it up and you were like, oh my god, guess what I found? And it was an article of this couple who were like, oh, our house has been destroyed by Love It or List It Vancouver, because the people that they hired weren't even like real.
They were like actors.
Yeah, they were like actors.
They were suing them.
They were suing Love It or List It because the contractors weren't even real.
Yeah. I was like, what? No, and then further down, like, obviously it had been, like, some kind of investigative piece because they had interviewed this guy whose aunt and uncle had been on the show and they had picked Love It. Yeah. But on the show, they showed it as List It. So they actually made them film both Love It. So at the end of the show, you have the option.
Yeah, apparently.
They ask you, oh, do you love the house or do you want to list it?
And they film both versions.
They film both versions, and then it's up to the producers to show which version it is. So it's not even real.
It's not even real. So, like, if the couple is like, oh, yeah, we love it, they'll show it in the episode that they've listed it.
That's
and
it's so
like,
bad.
Well, if you list it, isn't someone going to go looking for that house? What the
hell? It makes no sense.
You can't deceive people like this.
It actually makes no sense. So then we started looking at, so Australia's got a version of Love It or Listed as well. That's actually a really good version because
really
it's got Andrew Winter and Neil Whittaker.
Who are amazing.
So Neil Whittaker is the designer and Andrew Winter is the real estate agent.
Andrew Winter is also from Selling Houses Australia.
Exactly. So they're a great combination.
Yeah.
And Neil Whittaker is actually a really good designer.
He's
very well known.
Yeah.
And you can see that what is being done is actually really well done. And knowing the Australian building industry, it's very strict.
Yeah.
It's actually very, very strict.
And if something like that was to happen here, it would be an absolute
And we've got
disaster.
Some major renovation shows. Like, we've got a show called The Block, which we don't really watch. Yeah. I always like watching the end.
I like watching the end of the auction.
Yeah.
That's what I like watching. When the houses are revealed for
They're basically given, like, a block of homes or whatever, and they have to renovate. And there's major renovations.
Yeah.
And it's a competition-style thing. And you get to learn... If you watch it, actually, you get to learn a lot about the industry.
Yeah.
And it's fascinating. So you actually have to be really good.
Yeah.
Like, it has to be really super on point.
Yeah.
So if something like that was happening here, people would have found out.
Oh, yeah. People would have been... And
made
been
a noise.
A massive scandal.
It
would have
been a backlash.
Yeah.
Clearly... People overseas can get away
somehow
with that kind of stuff. And then there's the UK version as well with Kirsty and Phil.
Yeah.
Kirsty Allsop and Phil... Gosh, what's his last name?
Phil...
I don't know what his last name is.
I don't know.
Damn.
That's really bad.
That's so bad. Theirs is slightly different because in the US or Canada version, they do it over like a week.
Yeah.
Like the renovation. So it's really fast and really quick.
Yeah.
Whereas in the UK, they do it over a couple of months.
Yeah.
They don't do it all of a sudden. So I think that makes more sense as well. And that makes you see that it's more genuine.
Yeah.
So I feel like the original version is a bit dodgy.
Oh my God. That
and
is so dodgy.
And they've taken that model and fixed it in these versions.
Yeah.
So I love watching Love It or List It.
Love It or List It's great.
What's our other favorite one? Selling Houses.
Selling Houses. Yeah, sorry. I was confused. I was
blanking.
Like, I had to look at the list. Selling Houses is great.
So we've got Real Estate Agent. So we've got Real Estate, who's Andrew Winter.
Yeah.
Shayna Blaze, she's the designer.
Yeah.
So she handles all the inside stuff. And then you've got Charlie, who's the landscaper. So he handles all the outside.
Yeah.
And the whole premise of Selling Houses is people have put... they've had their houses on the market
for
ages and it's not selling. And they're pretty in, like, dire need to sell their houses.
Yeah, there's quite a few ones who are, like, you know... And they don't have that much money.
They don't have the money. Or they don't know what to do. So, basically, they have these people over. They'll fix up everything. And the thing that I like about this show is that it's not, like, these really expensive makeovers.
Yeah.
It's what needs to be done to sell the house. So, it's very basic.
Yeah.
You know? So... they'll look at the cheaper option to do something as long as, you know, you can get the house on the market and get a good price for it. Which, unlike Love It or List It, we were a bit disgruntled in season two.
Yeah.
Because it's like everyone's budget was like more than 100 grand.
Yeah, I was like, well, what about the poor buggers like us who only might have like 10,000?
Right? What do we do? How do we fix a house?
I don't have 100 grand to fix my house.
We have to pay, like, the people on the show actually have to
like,
pay for
if
it.
If I had 100 grand, wouldn't I put that as a down payment on a new house?
Right? So I'm just like, well, hang on a minute. That's not fair.
Right, yeah.
So, but Selling Houses is a bit more realistic budget.
Yeah.
So it gives you, even though the houses are being sold, it gives you ideas to do things that are not super expensive.
Yeah.
You know?
And, like, how to, like, cut corners in a legitimate way.
In a legitimate way, exactly.
You know, how to... paint the tiles, because you can't remove the tiles because it'll be too expensive and to re-tile. So you
paint
spray
them. Yeah. And just like, that's such a great idea. The best option is just to make your bathroom white.
Yeah.
I think that's so brilliant.
Yeah.
And you have to get special tile paint and then just spray them. You're done white, you're done.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't have to do anything. It's great.
Yeah.
So, yes, you learn how to, like, cut corners in, like, these really good ways that are legal.
Yeah, they're legal. Looking at you, love it, Alyssa.
Right? They're legal.
Yeah.
And they're good. Like, money savers. So, money that's
savers.
Really good.
Money savers and time savers.
Mm.
Yeah.
And then we've got location, location, location.
Yeah.
Which is the British version.
Yeah, which we kind of talked about
already. Kirstie and Phil.
Yeah.
Loved it. Oh, I don't know. I love it.
Yeah.
But the one thing I've noticed, I don't know if you've noticed it. So whenever they show like houses in Australia or the US or wherever, the houses are immaculate, right? They're beautiful.
Yeah, they've done really well. They're so clean. Beautiful.
They're clean. Even if they're not like perfect, they're like, the beds are made and the house is clean, right?
Yeah.
What have you noticed in the British location?
They're always really super cluttered.
They're so dirty. Oh my god!
And I don't understand why.
They're so bad. Like, the houses are beautiful. Like, some of them are, like, stunning. But you will inevitably, in every episode, find one flat that they visit where the bed is awful, there's dishes in the sink, in the kitchen.
And, like, cluttered.
It's so bad.
There's, like, stuff everywhere. It's like, why would you not just, like, push it to the side?
Oh, my goodness. But you know what that tells me? That it's completely authentic.
Right? Yeah. It's not manufactured.
It's not manufactured. But I think the best thing about location, location is the chemistry between Kirstie and Phil.
Oh, they're great.
I used to actually think that they were married, but they're not.
I don't think I ever got that.
No, impression. I thought, because when I first started watching it, I started watching it way before you started.
Yeah.
So when I started watching it, I thought they were married.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, no, they're not married. They're actually married to other people, but they've got fabulous chemistry.
Yeah, they're really great. They're
so good. I think now I mostly watch it because of them.
Yeah.
And I love Phil.
Yeah.
And I learned so much about real estate from him.
Phil, yeah.
Because he came to Melbourne as well and he did like this whole show. So it was great.
Yeah.
Loved it.
And
our latest obsession.
Our latest obsession. Oh my gosh, the show is amazing.
I never thought you would like this.
I'll give you my reason for it. So the show in question is none other than Selling Sunset on Netflix.
On Netflix.
This show is so amazing because the marketing strategy of this show is so excellent.
And extra, by the way.
And extra, by the way. So it is a show about a real estate company on the Sunset Strip itself called the Oppenheim Group.
Yep.
That do, like, multi-million mansions, right? Like, that's their thing. That's their brand. Yep. That's their selling point. So you think that the show is going to be just about, like, the property, right? Yeah. But, oh my god, it sucks you into the drama of the realtors and the brokers.
There's so much drama.
Everything.
There's so much drama. And it's good
and it
drama.
And it got me so involved. And I was like, wow.
And you don't generally watch this kind of stuff.
No,
you
but it, I stuck around because of the properties,
the
man.
The properties are beautiful. Like, and they don't, and have you noticed one thing? The properties are only, like, I mean, they do show them quite a bit,
yeah.
And what I really, and I think the thing that works with this show is that these women, so it's obviously predominantly women, right? And you've got the two owners of the Oppenheim group, Jason and Brett, I think?
Yeah.
Jason and Brett, who are twins.
Yeah,
so it's really and I hard to not tell them apart at all. And so they run the Oppenheim Group, and all of the realtors are women, and they're stunning.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like models, right? And out of them, one of them is Chriselle, who was married to Justin Hartley, right?
Who was my favorite person in the whole world because of This Is Us.
Right.
And but he's not anymore.
He's not anymore because we found out what an awful guy he is. Yeah. But anyway. But, so basically these women are the realtors. And the thing that works, when you first look at, and honestly when I first watched the trailer, I was like, this is going to be the most vapid group of women.
So our cousin was like, oh my god, you have to watch this show.
Because she'd seen all three
seasons. Three seasons. And I watched the trailer. I was like, oh, this is so something that I'm not going to be into. And she's like, no, it's about property and all this stuff. And I'm like, all right, fine, let's give it a chance. And like, it was just so good.
It was excellent.
Yeah.
And the thing that works with the show is that, yeah, you've got your drama. Like, I think, for me, it's a combination between The Real Housewives.
Yeah.
and serious business.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's what I like about
this. But you know what's good, at least up until this point? Mm. There hasn't been any, like, cat fights in terms of, like, hand-to-hand. Oh, no, them slapping each other and crap like that.
Thank goodness. They, and I don't think it would.
I don't think they would go for that.
The thing that works with this show is that ultimately they are professionally, they are invested in the show in terms of, yes, they have exposure for themselves. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's because they are presenting themselves to potential clients.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So they have to have a certain kind of type of behavior still. Yeah. Yes, they're doing their, you know, little outrageous extra bits here and there, which is fine. But it's not something that would put people off.
Yeah.
You know? It's actually, they're really smart women.
Yeah, they are.
They're really, really smart women. And you may not like them, but you've got to appreciate their hustle.
Yeah.
Or they're good.
Yeah.
You know? I had no idea that they only worked for commission.
Yeah. I was like, that's... No clue. Because look how much the commission is, too. That's like a more than a year's salary.
But at the same time, your commission... So, like, I think on average, they're getting commissions at least 80 grand.
Yeah.
Right? But out of that, they have to pay the broker. They have to pay themselves. They have to pay marketing, all of that. So, ultimately, they'll probably get maybe 30, 40.
Yeah.
But even then, for some people, that's a year's salary.
Yeah.
So, they do make quite a bit. So, if you sell two homes, one's like multi-million dollars, one's like not that expensive.
Yeah.
You've made at least 100 grand within that month.
There's a reason they can afford to look the way they do.
Right? And they look good. They look, oh man, the fashion is amazing.
Oh, the fashion is so good.
It's actually really good. So if you have not seen Selling Sunset.
Oh, it's amazing. It's so good. It's
so good.
Like, it's just, we knocked it out in like a week. It's
so great. So good. But so on that, we found out Chrishell and Justin Hartley's divorce. Oh, it happened on it.
Yeah. That was the worst. I mean, look, knew about the divorce ages ago. We didn't know how.
Mm.
And you find out how in this season.
He broke up over a text message.
I can't believe that. It was so shocking to me.
What?
I was like, seriously, Kevin Pearson?
And apparently, seriously? 2 weeks before the whole breakup, he had posted this really sweet message about her for her birthday and, like, oh my goodness. That is so bad.
It's awful. It's so bad. Really,
but anyway.
Bad.
It was, it's that was sad.
That was really, that was
but
really
bad. But now she's
bad.
On Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah, she's on Dancing with the Stars now.
And I think she'll recover quite well. She'll sell some houses.
So that's good. Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, it was really interesting. So if you haven't watched Selling Sunset, watch it.
It's so good. Please do. Watch it and then let's talk about it.
Okay, so let's go into reality next.
Yep.
Okay, because we can wrap that up fairly quickly.
Yep.
And then we'll move on to our favorite topic.
Yep. Yep.
All right, so reality shows, we've got a few. So we've got to mention before we move on.
Yeah.
We've got to pay homage to the original reality queens, which is Kardashian clan.
Mm-hmm.
We've never watched Kardashians.
No, not at all.
I've watched like an episode here and there. I've never really been able to get into it.
Yeah.
Ever. I don't know why.
Yeah.
I would have thought I would, but I just can't.
Yeah.
But we've got to pay homage because next year is going to be their last season.
Yeah.
And they really set up the whole reality TV.
Yeah.
Spectacle.
Yeah.
You've got to give them credit. On this level. Yeah. You've got to give them credit where credit's due.
Yeah.
And you've got to appreciate that they've opened doors.
Yeah.
For all of the following. Like, they made reality TV popular.
Yeah, they did.
You know?
Yeah.
So, let's pay homage to them for that.
Oh, yeah.
So, the Kardashian clan is pretty important there.
And it is that thing of, like, being on for so long
and
being done.
Like,
I think it's quite an achievement. And
absolutely.
Yeah, they've done well for themselves.
Yeah.
And we may not be massive fans of them, but...
No, and I actually always, like, get a bit upset when people say, oh, they're famous for being nothing. And I'm like... No, you can't say that because they are, maybe they might have initially started off that way.
Yeah.
But they've clearly had something that made people gravitate to them.
Yeah.
They clearly had some kind of an appeal.
And the thing is, if they had gone on for so long without having their brand, their bags, perfumes, whatever... Yeah.
Then maybe they would have been useless.
They would have been useless.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. Because then you're just on TV for the sake of being on TV.
Exactly.
Whereas they took what they had and they made it bigger.
Absolutely. So, you've got to give them credit. So anyway, so there you go. Kardashian clan gets a mention from us. But our favorite, well, it's mine, really.
No.
I love the Housewives, the Real Housewives.
That is one brand that I cannot do.
Oh, man, I
tell you. I used to watch New York quite a bit.
Give it a go.
But now I'm just like,
So Effie, our dear friend Effie, has just gotten into Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Oh, Jesus.
And she's, I think, almost finished now. And she's like, oh, no, what do I do now? I was like, well,
We've got to move on to the next one.
So the OG is the OC.
Yeah.
Right? So the Real Housewives of OC. I love that show. Oh my gosh. I love all of them. I actually love all of them. So there's Real Housewives of OC. You've got New York. You've got Potomac.
New Jersey.
You've got New Jersey. You've got Atlanta. And you've got Dallas.
Yeah.
And I think you... I don't know
if Beverly Hills.
Beverly Hills. That is one Real Housewives I have never been able to get into.
Right.
I don't know why. I feel like it's because they're just completely unrelatable.
Okay.
You know, like, with the Atlanteans, gosh, they're so amazing. They're so much fun. I think for them, they're my favorite.
I think they're the only group that I actually know.
They are like, so, I mean, come Nene on, Nene Leakes, yeah. Hello.
Yeah.
Nene Leakes, wow, she's brilliant.
She's, yeah, she's I mean, brilliant. She's the only one that I know, so I'm like, oh, yeah. Okay.
So cool. Yeah. Like, they are so much fun. They're just so much fun.
I think I would be, like, strangely into Dallas for some reason.
Dallas is great.
I don't know.
Oh, my gosh. Dallas is so amazing. Which is why I'm just Texas.
That's why I'm going to stay away from it.
No, you have to watch it.
I can't.
Well, one of them, Leanne is her name.
Oh, yeah.
She grew up as a Carney. Like, how much? Like, oh, my goodness.
Can't get more Tejas than that.
Wow. Like, wow.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. And New York is excellent as well.
Oh, yeah. I used to watch New York quite a bit.
They're all really
Bethany
good.
And Jill and Ramona and all those people
and
were there.
The thing is, oh, and who else? New Jersey is really good. Like, all of them are good.
Yeah.
They're all really good. New Jersey's so too intense for me.
It's too intense.
The last few seasons have been intense after Teresa went to jail and like, her husband's been deported to Italy. Like,
yeah, that's stops happening. It's crazy, man. Yeah, it's like mob wives.
There's so much happening. There's so much happening.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, Housewives, I think it's like amazing. And I remember, no, they've done one for like different countries as well.
Yeah.
I've never watched the others. I tried watching The Real Housewives of Cheshire.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't like it.
You've watched the Melbourne one, haven't you?
Yeah, I've watched the Melbourne one. I couldn't get into it. Like, I watched the first season.
Yeah.
It was okay. Like, you know, it was too fine. Boring. It was a bit boring. I'll be honest. I felt like the drama was very manufactured.
Probably was.
I don't think it's like that in the second season, though, but I didn't really enjoy it. So I never watched it. I watched the Sydney one, and it was awful.
Oh, my God. I watched an episode of that because you were watching it, and it was, like, so... vapid.
It was horrible.
Oh my God, it was awful.
It was so bad that it got cancelled the second season because no one wanted to watch it.
Yeah.
And then no network wanted to pick it up because no one liked it.
Yeah.
Whereas the Melbourne one kept going. It's still on, I think.
Is it?
Okay. Yeah, it's still on. Like, people like it. Like, it's not bad.
Yeah.
If I'm desperate and I really want to watch Housewives, I'll watch it. You know?
If
but,
it's on.
But yeah, no. Oh my God. I can't do it. But yeah, it's... Oh, the OG Housewives are... brilliant. So good. But yeah, what's our next one?
Which is your favorite?
God.
Catfish!
Love Catfish!
Catfish! Because where did we discover Catfish?
Taupo, New Zealand.
Yeah, we talked about this in the previous episode. But because we didn't have a car in New Zealand, we got stuck.
In Taupo, which is a beautiful place,
because they didn't have a bus over the weekends. No. And we tried to walk to the place that we needed to go to, but we got derailed by 45 minutes, and then walking there was just, like, too much.
I got hay fever.
You got hay fever, and you were just, like, dying. I was like, all right, I think it's time to go back to the lodge.
Misadventures.
So when we got back to the lodge, what was coming on TV?
They had a marathon of catfish.
A marathon, but it was a marathon of all, like, the top 25 whatever. And we were like, oh, okay, we haven't really seen these episodes, like, as in we've never seen the show.
Watched Catfish.
So we were like, oh, watching the top whatever is a bit weird, but let's just watch it anyway, because it looked really interesting. And oh my gosh, we were hooked.
The hosts, Max and Neve.
Yeah.
Max Joseph and Neil Shulman. Yeah. And so apparently Neve got catfished and he made a documentary about it, right?
Yeah.
And then that kind of expanded into a TV show, which is on MTV.
Yeah.
And I think it's a really cool show.
It's amazing.
Like, so what season are we on right now?
We're on 5 because we started watching it again with our family who was here.
Yeah.
Because they were like, oh my god, what is this show?
So we and watched, now they hooked as well. About 2 or 3 episodes a night. Yeah. So we're on episode, we're on season 5 now.
Yeah.
Now I think at this point, Max is no longer with the show.
Yes, in our current timeline.
Yes, yeah, so I Max think Neve is doing it with someone else.
Her name's Cammy.
Okay, right. Yeah. So, yeah, so essentially, these two guys, they basically do the investigation of who's getting catfished mm-hmm. and all that. And then we've got some shockers on there.
Oh my gosh.
There's some shockers there's, on
what
there.
What is your favorite? What is your absolute hands down?
Oh, the one that you so love hard. The most. The one that I love the most. Oh my god. I'm just trying to think which one would have
been. Oh, the one that's the one that really got you, where you were like, oh my gosh, this is ridiculous.
I think the one that really got me has to be. I'm sorry, I'm laughing. It's so stupid. Oh my gosh, I think it's the one in which the girl catfished her own cousin.
Oh, that's my favorite.
Oh my god.
That's my favorite. You know why? Because honestly, that's my favorite because she makes a fake voice of the guy that she's pretending to be to her cousin. And in one of the top 25s or whatever, it was Max and Neve talking about the clip before they played it. And it was like, you know, the Tony voice. And then it cuts to Neve and he's just like, ah! It still freaks me out.
It was so weird. So basically, this poor guy, Antoine, I think his name was. He was talking to this guy called Tony.
Yeah.
And he had never talked, he'd never seen his face, he'd never done video conference or anything like that. And his cousin had written into Max and Neve saying, I'm concerned about my cousin. Mm. He's been talking, 3 years I think it was?
Yeah.
I've been talking to, he's been That's talking to this so guy for 3 years and he's never met him, I'm worried about him. So they go and they talk to him, he's like, oh, I'm in love with him and blah, blah. And they do this whole wild goose chase, and they finally get to the house that's supposedly Tony's.
Yeah. And she goes, the reason why you can't find Tony is because I'm Tony.
I'm Tony. And we're like, everyone's like, what?
What? Everyone was so like, what's going on?
And then she does the Tony voice.
Yeah, that she's been using to fake him out. And everybody's just like, this is so creepy.
This is so creepy and insane.
And she's like, and the cousin obviously is very upset. He's like, why would you do this to me? And da, da, da. And she's like, well, you never should have called me a fat Kelly Price.
I don't even know who Kelly Price is.
No idea.
And I'm just like, just because your cousin called you fat, you catfished him for 3 years? Like, how insane of a person do you have to be?
Like, obviously, we shouldn't be laughing at these people's misery.
I know.
Like, but it's that thing of, like, it's funny because it's so ridiculous.
And she wanted to be
that.
On the show.
Yeah, she wanted, that's the reason.
She wanted to be on the show and to humiliate her cousin.
Yeah, she's like, oh, I can catfish anybody and da 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 da.
No, and her whole thing was like, oh, I love my cousin, we're best friends. And I'm like, how awful are you? That is the worst.
The worst.
Remember there was another episode with the guy who was like a serial, like, oh my goodness, the three girls.
Oh my god, that one is the actual worst. That's actually really creepy. And honestly, that one kind of scared me. And I kind of don't agree with that one because I think they should have really gotten the police involved.
Yeah, I think so.
Because he was like creepy. Over 400 women that he was trying to catfish.
And currently catfishing.
And he had a list of like where he was up to in the relation, like relationship.
And each girl was like categorized.
Yeah,
it was so freaky.
It was awful.
It was horrible.
It was like that one just gave me the creeps. That one so gave me much. The creeps.
That wasn't funny. That was really so sick.
That was sick. The one that I find absolutely hilarious because it is so outrageous and it actually makes me laugh because the guy is an idiot.
Oh, okay.
No, the one where he thinks he's talking to Katy Perry.
Oh my gosh!
And I swear, at the end, he's like, "Oh yeah, yeah, I know."
Oh, no.
I know.
He still thinks he's talking to Katy Perry.
Still very much in the thing that it's Katy Perry.
What is wrong with people?
And I'm just like, the actual girl who's catfishing you is standing in front of you telling you that it's not Katy Perry. And
it's
still,
me!
And you're still like, no, you're just saying that for privacy reasons and all this stuff. And it's actually someone else. And it's like, dude.
That kind of creeped me out as well. Because I was like, what is going on? Like, this guy needs serious help.
Yeah.
You know, like,
He needed to go to a counselor.
But I think the thing that I like about Catfish is that it's very, I like the reconciliation thing.
Sometimes.
Sometimes. Like, I don't agree with it always.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's a good way of ending things because I think it's important. It's not just, you know, you're going there, you're confronting someone, you're yelling and screaming and that's it. You know?
And the good thing is, like, sometimes Neve and Max will also recognize that, hey, maybe we shouldn't take the person. We'll go ourselves and talk to the other, the catfisher.
Yeah.
And just try to get the actual story.
Yeah.
So it's good that they recognize that there's not going to be a reconciliation. Yeah. Here.
The one that I really loved, one of my favorite episodes, was that girl. She was like 18, or she had just about turned 18.
Oh,
and
yes.
She hadn't even finished high school yet, and she was talking to this guy. Mm. She was really young, very cute. And so they travel all the way, I can't remember where, San Diego or something.
Yeah.
And the guy was horrible. He was horrible. And they basically were like, okay, you don't need to do the second day reconciliation with this guy because he's a dog.
Yeah.
And they went outside seeing and they took her out.
Oh, it was so great.
So sweet. And I love, like, my favorite's Max.
Yeah, mine too.
I mean, I love Neve as well.
Oh, yeah.
But my favorite's Max because I really like how he's very, like, Neve is a bit more soft in the sense like, oh, I understand, you know, like, blah, blah. But Max is very much like, no, this is wrong.
Yeah.
You know, this is not right. What you're doing is not right.
Yeah.
And he's very much like black and white, you know?
That's like me. I swear to God, sometimes he and I are like on the same page.
Yeah, and he's very sort of like, he doesn't get involved because he's mostly the camera guy.
Yeah.
He lets Neve do most of the talking, but he will get involved when something's not right.
And he doesn't agree with it.
He doesn't agree with it. Like, there was that one guy who, remember he was like, he was like, oh, this girl's been stalking me or blah, blah. And then it turns out he was, like, friends with benefits with that girl.
Yeah.
And then Max is like, what are you doing, dude? Like, that's just wrong. You're leading her on. Yeah. And then you're calling her a stalker. Like, how's that fair?
That was so awful.
You know? So, like, it was moments like that, you kind of are like, okay, this is actually kind of genuine. Because I honestly thought this was a fake.
Yeah, for a while I was like, oh, God, okay.
Yeah.
And look, maybe not everything is legitimized and all that stuff, but hey, it's fun.
It's still fun.
And I love this show
so much.
Before we move on to our next category, we have to, of course, mention the ultimate reality show. The reality show to end all the other reality shows, and that is Queer Eye.
Oh my goodness, yes. Yes.
Sorry.
Love it.
We could have talked about this last, maybe, but I just need to talk about Queer Eye for
Queer
a second.
Great.
Because that show, I am so glad it's back, and it's back in, like, the best way possible. Mm. Because, like, the old one was really good.
For its time. Yeah.
But, like, the whole do everything in one day thing, it was like, well, you don't really get to know the person that they're making over and all this stuff.
Yeah.
So the fact that they spend, like, a whole week with their hopeful, or their, the hero, they call them. The hero. Mm. Yeah, they call them the hero. It's just amazing.
Mm.
And, you know, it's so emotional, and, like, every story is just, like, it's unique and special. And each one of those men are just, like, I just love them so much.
I really like that they're stuck with, like, the original formula, which is, you know, having the Fab Five, and each one of them's got their own specialty in their own area. But, like, what I think it was in season one, they were like, oh, the first Fab Five were there for acceptance.
Yeah.
But we're here to kind of, you know, do more with that.
Yeah.
And I really like that because you have a lot of people who are not necessarily exposed to the LGBTQ community. And, you know, they have certain prejudices against it not because of anything other than they just don't know anyone who's like that. And I think this is a really great way of having people from different ideologies and different religions and different points of view meet together and still live in peace together, you know? Like, no one's saying that you kind of abandon everything that you believe in.
Yeah.
And they have, like, but just be kind.
They have, like, really important conversations with each other and, like, stuff that needs to be said and needs to be talked about. Like, you know, the episode where they make her work up and, like, Karamo in the cup. Because Karamo was an African-American.
Yeah.
That was, like,
that was a really good episode.
That was amazing. Yeah. Like, they needed it to have
And they had that conversation from both sides, you know?
Yeah, and it was excellent that they did that. Mm. So, yeah.
Such a good show. It's such a good show. Oh, who's your favorite?
Ten's
my favorite, too.
we can't, I mean, they see that they see, we can't
Dan, yeah. And Dan, I have to say, I love Jonathan.
Yeah.
He's just such a sweetheart. Yeah. I love him. But yeah, so Queer Eye is great as well. I need to catch up on my Queer Eye.
Yeah, you really need to do. In a while. Yeah.
All right, moving on to our last category, which is the best category.
Wedding.
This is so weird.
I never thought.
Oh my gosh. Weddings, like how dumb is that?
Weddings.
Okay, so the show that started all our obsession with weddings.
Who we can thank Effie and Rory for.
True, Rory more than anything. Yeah.
Is Say Yes to the Dress.
So one day, I think this was like 3 or 4 years ago, and Effie and Rory were staying over the night. And morning time, we were having breakfast, and Rory was just flipping through channels.
Yeah.
And he just went, oh, what's this? Say Yes to the Dress. And he just left it on.
And both Effie and I, the three of us, were like, oh my God, what is this?
And we just started watching.
Yeah.
And oh my goodness, this is like the best show ever. Oh, I love it.
Oh, it's so the wedding show to end all wedding shows.
So good. Actually, no, this isn't.
Which
Disney is
okay? No, look, I mean that's a whole brand in and of itself.
Anyway, Say Yes to the Dress. So people go there to buy their dresses.
Yep.
And then at the end, you know, one of them will be like, "So you say yes to this dress?
I'm saying yes to this dress."
It's so dumb.
Oh, it's so great. It's so good. Oh,
but I love the drama. Like, I think the best thing about this is the giant entourage that people go with, and I'm like, who does that? People actually take those many people?
Obviously, these are real people.
Is that just for the show? Like, I don't think that's real.
Oh, I don't know. Because they don't know that sometimes they don't
know. No, but now, well, I think, I don't know when it first started, I don't know about this. But now you have to actually apply to the show.
Oh, right.
Okay. Yeah, so you have to apply to the show and then they'll like film you. So you'll have the film crew with you.
Right.
When you enter and stuff like that. So maybe that's, because they all want to be on TV. Mm. But like, who takes, like, I wouldn't.
I would only take you and mum.
Yeah, I would probably, and maybe like a friend. And like one friend. One or two friends. I would not take like a giant number of people.
Yeah.
You know, like max like an aunt and cousins and things like, but not like a whole heap of people.
People bring like their grandma and their dad, and like, and dad has no business being there.
Well, no, you can have your dad there. I know our dad wouldn't be interested. Or maybe he might be. I don't know.
I don't know.
He gets randomly interested in things.
I don't know. But like, yeah, they'll bring like someone else and this person, and I'm just like, well, who?
Why?
Like my best friend from when I was
traveled all the way.
Who's like at my previous high school before I went to my last high school? I was like, well, what?
You get the weirdest, like, family connections coming on that show. But I think it's only because they know they're getting filmed.
God, yeah.
So that's why. But it's just insane.
It's so crazy.
And then we've got the Atlanta version. So the original version is the New York version.
Yeah. I mean, before we move on to that, you have to talk about your obsession with Penina.
Oh, my goodness. So there's one designer. Her name is Penina Tone.
Yeah.
And the name of the shop that they film at is Kleinfeld, which is, like, supposed to be a really, really big wedding dress shop in New York.
Yeah.
And so, Penina Tony, she's, like, her stuff is really interesting. It's very, like, it's either really beautiful or it's, like, super trashy. I don't understand her.
And look, each to their own, eye of the beholder and all that, but some of those dresses are eyesores.
They're so tacky, and then some of the most beautiful and dresses, then you're like, oh, that's really stunning.
Yeah, and then you say it's a Penina, and you're like, that can't be
that Penina. Can't be, but it is.
But it is.
So she's got this really wide range that she kind of caters to.
Yeah.
So she's like the favorite, right? Yeah. And the reason why she became a favorite is because every time I say, oh, there's a Penina, and there she is, Penina shows up.
Yeah, she shows up there.
So I was like,
what? I love that one comment where it was like, what, does this woman just like appear from a hatch somewhere?
Like, it's like she has a little workshop underneath, just goes hello every time she has a name.
But no, she's an affiliate or something, right?
She's exclusive to Kleinfeld, right, so she doesn't actually sell anywhere else, so she doesn't have her own boutique.
So I guess she works there.
Well, I guess,
like, she's an employee as well.
No, she's not an employee.
Okay.
But like, that though, they are her sole stockists, right, essentially. Okay. So the when I really started appreciating her for how good she is,
yeah,
is when they did like a mini special, I think it was like 4 or 5 episodes, which I don't think did very well.
Yeah.
Where she would meet clients, and I think it was like Say Yes to Us after doors closed or something like that it was.
Okay.
And so she would meet clients in Kleinfeld, but like after everything was shut, like special appointments,
mm-hmm.
and she would like sit there and design dresses.
Oh, like custom
dresses. Yeah. And so she would just sit there and talk to them, and as she's talking, she would just sketch. And the stuff that she would come up with was like, whoa, hello, lady, wow. You are brilliant, right?
Yeah.
So that's when I really started going, okay, she's actually really good. Like, yeah. She's got really low-end stuff,
yeah.
but she's also got very high-end stuff.
Yeah.
So I actually really started liking her then. Yeah. So her stuff is actually pretty good.
Mm.
But then the other one from Say Yes to Dress is the Atlanta one.
Oh, my God.
God, I love that one. It's so southern.
We're going to jack her up.
We're going to jack her up.
It's basically when they put the veil and all that stuff.
Yeah, so to make you see, like, what you would look like on your wedding day. They don't like it when men come to the showing. So, like, fiancés or brothers or husbands or whatever, they're not allowed.
Yeah.
So they're very southern. Their attitudes are very different.
Yeah.
So that's interesting to see. But then you've got the Canada one, which is so bad.
It's so bad.
So bad.
It's so bad.
They have rip-off Randy.
Yeah, rip-off Randy, as we call it. Even the UK one is rip-off Randy.
Yeah, because Randy is in the New York store, and he is an icon.
Oh, yeah.
He's brilliant.
He's amazing.
He's amazing. So now I think he's like a manager or something. Like
he's a manager, pretty, and he's got his own line as well.
He's got his own line at Kleinfeld now.
Like
a
budget line, but like good dresses.
Really good stuff. Yeah. So anyway, so he's really got this way of talking. He's very sweet.
Yeah.
He's lovely.
We love
Randy. They've got someone similar in Atlanta.
Monty.
Who's also quite funny, actually. Yeah. I like Monty. He's very different to Randy.
Yeah.
But Canada couldn't manufacture their own. So they tried to pick someone who kind of looks a little bit like Randy. Like an older Randy. And also talks a little bit like Randy.
Yeah.
So I was just like, dude, that's rip-off Randy.
That's not on. And the UK one is just so boring. And even the Australia one. Yes, so they tried to do an Australia one.
Oh, it was so boring.
It
was the worst. Okay, the next one. Cheapest Weddings. It's on Netflix
on Netflix. Please watch it.
Were they all Australian weddings? It was Australian, wasn't it?
Maybe it's not... Yeah, they were.
It was Australian.
It might not be on, like...
It may not be on...
But if you can find it somewhere...
If you can find it, it's so funny. Oh, my goodness.
I mean, some of them are really unfortunate because it's, like, these people actually don't have money.
Yeah.
But then, like, there's something nice will happen where it's, like, there was that one where it was, like, a community just came out.
Oh, that was my
favorite. They donated stuff, and they're, like...
Well, this family, so they were a husband... I think they had already been married, or they hadn't been married, and they had kids.
Yeah.
And they just never seemed to have enough money to get married.
Yeah.
And they were on this place, I think it was, I can't remember, it was some island off the coast of Queensland, I think it was. So they're a small island community. Yeah. And I think their venue got destroyed because they had a sudden storm or something.
Yeah.
And so the entire community was actually donating all the food. The venue was donated.
Yeah.
The dress was donated. Like, cake was... So basically, they didn't have to pay anything.
Yeah.
But it was a community effort. And it was actually really beautiful. It was tasteful.
Yeah, it was actually stunning. It was a cheap wedding, but it was a beautiful wedding.
It was a beautiful wedding. So that was beautiful, but then there was
another. I loved the Battlestar Galactica.
Oh, that was a good one.
That was amazing.
That was a budget wedding, definitely. I think they spent like $13,000 or something.
Yeah. I was like, see, the nerds did it right.
Good.
Yeah.
It was actually really good. They did a good job.
And it gave me some ideas of when I drew my inevitable supernatural wedding.
Oh my God, that sounds so tacky.
It sounds tacky, I know. But it's going to be great.
Oh, Lord.
I swear.
Are you going to wear a plaid dress?
No. Come on. That's a bit much. Anyway.
Oh, gosh. No, but remember there was one wedding that was so sad. I actually felt really bad. She made her own little bouquet. And the flowers...
They were paper flowers. And she put them in. And they kept falling out.
They kept falling out. And then
her carpet down the aisle.
Oh, no. That was so bad.
It was a red carpet. It was a piece of felt.
It was red felt. And it kept gathering and blowing away in the... It was just so sad.
And it just felt so bad for her.
And then her mum wouldn't come to the wedding.
Her mum wouldn't come. Like, half the guests weren't there.
The food wasn't ready.
The food didn't arrive.
It was just so bad. That was horrible.
I mean...
But there was one, remember? This girl. And she didn't look like she didn't have a lot of money or whatever.
Yeah.
I think she was just being a cheapskate. And she basically bought, like, glasses and decorations and everything. And then she was so worried about things getting broken because she was going to sell everything.
Yeah.
She literally was, like, correcting everything the next day to sell it all on eBay.
Yeah. I was like, oh, God, that's
not a bad idea, but still.
It's
like,
a bit much. It's like, much. You know, you can rent that stuff. True. You don't have to, like. True.
So, anyway, so that was cheapest wedding. It was very entertaining, kind of sad at times.
Yeah.
But, yeah,
but to go to the other end of the spectrum, like, right to the other end.
Right.
With the most extravagant weddings you can think of.
And Disney that is fairy tale weddings.
Disney fairy tale weddings.
We discovered this in on Disney Plus.
Yeah, during lockdown.
We had no idea.
Not this lockdown, the previous lockdown.
We had no idea this show ever existed. It's hosted by Twitch and Allison.
Yep.
So that's a lot of fun as well to see them. It's very cute.
Yeah.
Oh man, these are like fantasy level weddings.
I mean, for a nerd like me, we're both nerds, but let's be honest.
Oh man.
I just die every time.
Never thought I would ever be interested in a nerdy wedding. Disney is the one that I would love. Disney
nerdy wedding.
Yes.
Is the nerdy weddings to end all nerdy
weddings.
Oh, man. Oh, my gosh. Like, these people actually get married in front of either Cinderella's castle or Sleeping Beauty's castle. They come in the Cinderella carriage.
And the carriage is a bit much, I would say.
Yeah. I know, I probably wouldn't do that. But I'm giving them the full view. They either do that, or they, like, get married in front of the Tree of Life, or, like, at the Chinese Pavilion.
And
I'm
like, that was beautiful. God. The thing that I loved watching is how, and the thing is, obviously, because we don't live there, we don't know it, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, growing up, it's always been a fantasy that at some point in my life, you know, we'd go to Disneyland.
Yeah.
And
there's people who literally go from here that we know
every year,
and they go specifically to go to Disneyland. Like, every that's their holiday.
That's their holiday. And I've never understood the appeal. But I think, and
I have, but I've never been like, oh, okay, I wonder why.
Yeah, like, but watching the show, you really see people love Disney. Like,
yeah.
Oh my, I know. I we thought love we Disney. Loved
Disney, but no, oh my but God.
This is a whole other this level is a of loving other Disney. Level. Like, going to Disneyland is like a family event, you know?
Yeah.
It's a yearly annual event.
Yeah.
And it's just so amazing. And they've got family passes. And they've got... The grandma's been taking them for generations. And it's like this generational thing. And I'm just like, wow, I wish we had something like that. But we don't.
I know. And like, you know, like, our theme parks in Queensland are nothing. Nothing.
No.
They are fiddlesticks compared to absolutely. Disneyland.
Like, absolutely. Oh, my so God. This is like, oh, my God. I cannot wait to one day go to Disneyland.
Yeah.
Like, oh, my goodness. I cannot wait.
Land and or world. And or world. I don't care. Whichever one. Take I don't me care. Anywhere. I don't care.
I just want to get to Disney.
Yeah.
That's it.
Just want to see that.
That's it. So these weddings are fabulous.
That statue. Yeah.
If I can afford it, I would love to get married there.
Oh, my God. Me too.
First, I need to find a groom.
Yeah.
That would help.
We need to find the Prince Eric and or Flynn Rider.
I don't care about princes. I just want a nice person.
Yeah.
So there you go. That's our...
I was sticking with the Disney theme. God.
I know. True. That's true. Jeez. Oh, well. Well, that's our reality.
If you had to, like, pick something that is, like, an absolute...
Go-to?
Go-to from here.
Ooh, that's kind of hard.
I think we know the answer.
I think I'd go for the Housewives.
Okay, well, that's your answer.
What were you thinking?
Catfish!
Actually, yeah, I could go Catfish or Housewives. I could go either.
Catfish?
Definitely. Yeah. I'd go either.
I mean, Queer Eye or Catfish? It's gonna be either one.
Yeah, so. I can do Catfish. But I think it's like, but the thing with Housewives is I cannot do repeats. Like, once I've watched it, I can't go back and watch it. I can only do new episodes. Like, I can't do, like, season one, two, so. Like,
no. Yeah. Whereas Catfish can watch anything.
Yeah, Catfish I can do.
Yeah.
Other than that, I think the only other thing that I could rewatch, you know, like, over, maybe something like Location or something. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, reality I find very hard to rewatch. Yeah. I can't do rewatches.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so, So yeah, that's our little taste of easy listening for the ears, for the eyes.
For the eyes.
So we'd love to hear from you guys what you guys liked. What any suggestions would be good.
Yeah, that's actually a good thing. Like, we would like to watch some more things during this lockdown.
Something interesting, yeah. Anyway, hopefully our next episode will be our Chadwick Boseman episode,
yes.
Where we will continue with our MCU journey with
Black Panther,
and we're gonna watch some of his other movies, whatever's available for us to watch. Woohoo! Thank you for listening.
Thanks, guys.
And thank you for sticking. We haven't been very regular, so thank you for whoever's been sticking.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're sorry if we're kind of a little bit down just now. We're trying to
get back on track.
So we'd hope to talk to you next time.
Mm-hmm.
And please share and subscribe if you like our episode. Mm-hmm. And follow us on our socials.
Yep.
And we will
talk to you. And give us your suggestions.
Yeah, we'd really love to interact with you guys.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Just comment on whatever post. Doesn't matter. Just comment and request something.
And if you haven't followed us on Insta or Twitter yet, please go ahead and do that, because we do interact a lot.
Yeah.
So, see you guys.
Bye, guys.